Now, if you do have your Bible with you this morning, please do turn back to the book of Acts and chapter 10, or do look it up on the intimation sheet as we look at this passage this morning. Now, this morning we continue our series in the book of Acts, and we continue the story that we began to look at last week in Acts chapter 10, the story of Cornelius and Peter. Now, you might remember that we looked at just a wee bit last week about what the book of Acts was all about. It's about how the gospel spreads. It spreads from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And previously in Acts, in the first nine chapters, we've seen the gospel spreading to each of these places. We've seen Pentecost in Jerusalem and many believing there. We've seen how the gospel has reached into Judea. We've seen how it's gone into Samaria in Acts chapter 8. And what we have in Acts chapter 10 is the beginning of the gospel reaching the ends of the earth. It's a wonderful thing. Now, just to remind ourselves where we are this morning in this particular story. Remember, last week we looked at really at two scenes in this story and two visions. The first vision given to Cornelius, a devout and God-fearing man, but critically, someone who wasn't a Jew, someone who was uncircumcised. He was a Gentile. And he's told in his vision to send for Peter, who's staying in Joppa with Simon the tanner. And so we have that first scene where we see Cornelius' vision. But then we move to a second scene. And we see Peter in Joppa, in Simon the tanner's house. And he's up on the roof and he's praying. And during his prayers, he becomes hungry. And he sends down to get some lunch made effectively. And three times he sees a vision. He sees a vision of unclean animals coming from heaven, and a voice saying to Peter, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." And each time Peter protests because the animals are not kosher. But each time the voice comes back again, "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." Now, when Peter's had that vision, he's still pondering that in his mind, as you would if you've just seen a very dramatic vision like that. Well, what does that mean? What's it all about? And he's just pondering that when, ding dong, his doorbell goes. I don't know if they had doorbells in those days, but effectively, that's what happens. The doorbell goes. And the Spirit says to Peter that there are three men looking for him, and he is to go with them. And so Peter goes down, finds these men sent by Cornelius, hears that Cornelius wants to hear what he has to say. And hearing these words, Peter invites these men in to be his guests. And so we've had these first two scenes, these two visions, and then these men coming to Peter. But this morning we switch to the third scene. Because what happens when Peter goes to Cornelius's house? Now, throughout all that has happened so far, we've seen God's hand in it all, haven't we? We've seen how God is bringing all these things together. And so there's a sense of anticipation, isn't there? As we have Peter and Cornelius finally meeting, what's going to happen when they come together? What's it going to be like? And we wonder what God is doing in the midst of it all. Now, the first thing to notice here, as one commentator puts it, is when Peter and Cornelius meet, Peter refuses to be treated as a god, and he doesn't want to treat Cornelius as a dog. Okay? He refuses to be treated as a god, and he doesn't treat Cornelius as a dog. You see, when Peter arrives at Cornelius' house, he has quite a welcome, doesn't he? Cornelius, of course, is expecting him. And so clearly, when he sent his servants off to get Peter, he's gathered round him all his relatives, all his close friends. He wants them to hear what Peter has to say. And so they're obviously all excited about Peter coming. And Cornelius himself is really excited, as you would be when God has sent you a vision and said, look, send for this man and listen what he's got to say to you. You would, of course, be excited by that. But it all gets a little awkward, doesn't it? When Peter comes into the house and there's Cornelius, and Cornelius is falling at his feet in reverence. It's quite awkward, isn't it? Now, Peter could have felt a wee bit flattered by that, couldn't he? That's what Peter could have been like. And if we're honest in our lives, we too can have those kind of temptations because we want people to show us respect. We want people to give us what we think we deserve. Sometimes when people are angry, especially if it's a celebrity or someone like that, they'll often say, do you know who I am? And sometimes we can be a wee bit like that, can't we? Do you not know who I am? You should be giving me the respect that I am due. And sometimes a temptation for us. And there's Cornelius, flat on his face before Peter. What's Peter going to do? Well, Peter probably remembers what Jesus did at the Last Supper. Remember what Jesus did? He washed the disciples' feet. And that was Jesus, Son of God. And yet what was Jesus doing? He was acting as a servant. And here Peter doesn't take the adulation. He simply says to Cornelius, Cornelius, get up. I'm just a man the same as you. Just get up. You see, Cornelius doesn't have the understanding that Peter has. He can't possibly know what Peter's going to tell him. And so what Cornelius is doing is an act done in ignorance, isn't it? But it's quite clear here, Peter does not want to be treated this way. And he makes that clear. Cornelius, get up. But what's also clear here is that Peter doesn't treat Cornelius like a dog. He doesn't treat him like a dog. You see, remember here that the Jews would call the Gentiles dogs because they were not the chosen people. You see, the Israelites were the chosen people. The Jews were the chosen people. They were the people of the promise. But Peter has understood something. He's understood that God has been telling him something through the vision he has had with the unclean animals now being clean. And he links that to him now going to the house of Cornelius, who is a Gentile. And when he hears what Cornelius' vision is about, and that Cornelius wants to hear what Peter has to say, Peter declares, he says, I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. You see, God has shown Peter that the gospel message of Jesus is not just for the Jews, also for the Gentiles. It is for everyone. And therefore, Peter responds to Cornelius by not looking down on him. But as we see at the end of the chapter, in verse 48, he stays with him, which is extraordinary for a Jew to stay with a Gentile. It's amazing when you look at this passage. And for us, thinking about this passage this morning, we must never look down on others thinking that they aren't worthy, that they could never become a Christian, because it doesn't matter what nation, what class, what color someone's from. They too can come to Christ because the message is for them too. You see, if I'm honest with you this morning, I have seen some pretty unlikely people coming to faith in Christ. People you would have thought, they are never going to come to Jesus. You know, they live too bad a life, or, you know, they're not the right kind of person. And yet, God has been gracious, and he's drawn them to himself. Perhaps some people have looked at me, or have looked at you, and they thought, they'll never become a Christian. And look what's happened. What a wonderful thing. It's purely the grace of God, isn't it? You see, this is the fact, that God shows no partiality. The message is for everyone. Yes, to the Jews first. The message came to the people of Israel, but also to the Gentiles. And there was no need for Cornelius to become a Jew to accept the gospel message. It was for him, as he was, as a Gentile. And this message about Jesus is for us. It's for anyone who will believe, anyone who God will call, whether that be in West Kilbride or Seamill, or Ayrshire or Scotland, United Kingdom, Europe, the world, whoever will come. Whoever. You see, I'm so glad that God doesn't show favoritism. You see, I don't want God just to accept others just because they are his favorites. And really, I don't want God just to accept me because I'm one of the favorites. I want a just God. I want a fair God. And that's what we see in this passage. You see, this is what Peter realizes, that the message of Jesus is not just for the Jews. What an amazing thing it must have been when Cornelius is telling him about his vision. And after he tells him about the vision, he says, "Now we are all here in the presence of God to listen to everything the Lord has commanded you to tell us." What a wonderful thing that must have been. What a gift for Peter. What a gift for any preacher. Wow. Can you imagine that for a congregation just to say, you know, God has spoken to me. You know, we're here. We're all ears. We want to listen. You see, here is an audience ready to listen. Their hearts are prepared. They are all ears. And they're so grateful that Peter has come. You see, it's great, isn't it? When you know that someone is really listening. That's a wonderful thing, isn't it? It's a great gift. You see, there's nothing more distracting than speaking to someone. And as you're speaking to them, they're kind of stifling a yawn. Or they're trying to get someone else's attention when you're trying to speak to them. Or they're looking at their phone, which seems to be a popular thing these days. There's nothing worse than that, is there? But here with Cornelius and his family and his friends, there is rapt attention. They are excited. They want to hear God's word. They realize they are in God's presence. And they are just waiting. What is God going to say? And I wonder, do we have that expectation? Do we have that expectation? When we come to church on a Sunday morning, have we prepared our hearts to hear God's voice? Do we do so at the evening service or at a Bible study or at a house group? Wherever we go and we receive God's word, do we prepare our hearts? Or do we just come along on a Sunday morning and we think, hope it's a short one this morning. I can't wait to the coffee at the end. Is that it? You see, Cornelius and his family and friends were ready to receive. They wanted to hear. They were eager to hear. What about us this morning? Are we eagerly waiting upon God? Or if we're truthful, are we distracted? Do we not really expect God to speak? Are we too busy thinking about our lunch or thinking about what's happened during the week or, you know, family problems? Is that what we're thinking about? Do we not expect God to speak? Or want God to speak? Because actually we're quite comfortable. God wants to speak. He's a God who speaks, and he wants us to listen. And Cornelius and all who are with him are there to listen. A gift for a preacher like Peter. And Peter begins to speak, and his message is a simple message. He starts by stating that God does not show partiality, and he then tells them about Jesus. How Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit and power. How Jesus went around doing good deeds and healing. He tells them about Jesus dying on the cross. And then he says on the third day that Jesus rose again. And that this message is to be preached to the people. That Jesus is the one that God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. And so I hope you see just in that very short sermon, and we guess it's just maybe a snippet from the sermon, that Peter, the life and teaching, the death and resurrection of Jesus. And he finishes by saying that everyone who believes in him will receive forgiveness of sins. You see, this is where God shows no favoritism, that everyone can have their sins forgiven by trusting in Jesus. And that's the really key thing in this passage. You see, it's a really popular thing to say these days that all roads lead to heaven and all religions lead to God. And there's kind of a view kind of out there in our culture. Just be nice, and God will be nice to us because God is a nice God. That is the kind of view out there in culture. But that's not what the Bible says. And actually, a passage such as this makes this clear, doesn't it? Because here is Cornelius. Who is Cornelius? He is a God-fearing man. He is devout, described as devout. He gives to those in need. He prays to God regularly. And when we read that God has no favorites, we might think that all good people, therefore, and all those of different faiths will therefore be saved. But note what happens. This is key in this passage. You see, Cornelius was clearly a good man, wasn't he? But the revelation that he has already isn't enough. To be devout isn't enough. To give to the poor isn't enough. Why? Because we can never be devout enough. We can never give enough. We need Jesus. You see, if Cornelius already understood it and God was already accepting him, why did Peter have to go? Because Peter needed to tell Cornelius and his family and his friends all about Jesus. John Stott, the rector at All Souls in London, says helpfully in one of his commentaries that God is not indifferent of religions, but indifferent of nations. And that's the point here, isn't it? You see, Cornelius still needed Jesus. Why? Because everyone who believes in Jesus receives forgiveness of sins through his name. There is no other way. Yes, of course we respect other people's opinion. Yes, of course we respect greatly other religions. But the Bible makes an exclusive claim that the only way of salvation is through Jesus. And that's why Peter comes to Cornelius. That's why Cornelius needs to hear the gospel. And when he does hear the gospel, something absolutely stunning and something wonderful happens. You see, there's nothing worse, is there, than being interrupted when you're speaking. Nothing worse. Very rude, isn't it, when you're interrupted? When you're speaking and you're in full flow and you're giving it something and you're stopped midway and you think, just wanted to finish that point. But I guess in this instance this morning, and I hope you notice, Peter was interrupted in his sermon. Peter didn't mind. Because when he's still speaking, what happens? The Holy Spirit comes down. Now, in many ways, that is astonishing. But this is partiality. Because what happened at Pentecost? The Holy Spirit came down. What happened with the Samaritans in Acts chapter 8 when Peter and John laid their hands on them? The Holy Spirit came down. And here, with these Gentiles who have just heard the gospel message, what happens? The Holy Spirit comes down on those who believe. And it astonishes those who Peter has brought with him. The circumcised believers are absolutely astonished by this. But Peter recognizes the sign. And so he orders that as they've received the Holy Spirit, a clear sign that they have believed in their hearts, that they're also to be baptized with water. You see, these Gentiles, Cornelius, his family, his friends, they too believe and they too belong. Jesus has died for their sins and they have received the promised Holy Spirit. I want to ask you today, here in this place, do we believe today? Do we believe? You see, maybe we are a good person like Cornelius, but I hope you see from this passage that no one is good enough. As it says in Romans, no one is righteous, not even one. We still need Jesus. Will you trust him today if you've never done that before? Because when you do, you receive forgiveness for your sins through his name. This message about Jesus is for you. And when you do trust Jesus, there is a peace that is beyond our utmost understanding. There is a joy that flows from deep within as we understand that our sins are forgiven, have been set free from guilt and shame. This message about Jesus is for you. And if we are a Christian here today, let's make sure that we don't treat other people like gods, because that's idolatry. But let's not treat other people also like dogs on the other hand, believing that the gospel couldn't possibly be for a person like them. The gospel is for anyone who believes, for anyone whom the Lord our God will call. And just like those who were with Peter were astonished when the Gentiles believed, maybe we too will also be astonished at those who come to Christ, as others have probably been astonished when we also have come to Christ. Shall we just pray together? Let's pray. Loving Lord God, we thank you for your word to us this day. And in many ways, it is an amazing word, an extraordinary word, because we see in this passage how the gospel is spreading from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria to the very ends of the earth. We thank you, Lord God, that in this passage, him and his household, that he believed and the Holy Spirit came down and they were baptized. Lord God, we thank you that this gospel message about Jesus is not just for those and such as those. It's not just for the rich. It's not just for those in Scotland or the United Kingdom. It is for the whole world, for all those who will believe in the Lord Jesus, all those who will put their faith and trust in him. And we thank you, Lord God, that in terms of the message of the gospel, that you, Lord God, show no partiality. But we thank you also, Lord God, for what the gospel tells us, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to you, Lord God, except through him. We recognize in this passage that Cornelius was a good man, described as a devout man, and yet he really needed Jesus. That if we come before you today, and we think of ourselves as a good person, and yet we know there is something missing inside, we pray, Lord God, that we would be willing to put our faith and trust in Jesus, the one who is willing to die on Calvary's hill, his blood shed there, that we might know forgiveness, that we might know freedom from guilt and shame, and that we might know newness of life. We thank you, Lord God, on the third day that Jesus rose again. And therefore, we have the hope of life eternal, a life of being with you forever and ever. So, Heavenly Father, we ask that you would speak to us through your word this day, we pray. For we pray these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. And just before we close our service this morning, just a reminder, there is tea and coffee after our service today. And please do come through and join us for that, if you're able. We're going to sing together as we close our service. We're going to sing Amazing Grace. As we look at a passage like the one we've looked at this morning, hopefully in our own hearts, if we're a believer here this morning, we know the grace that God has shown to us, that he has saved a wretch like us and shown us love and compassion and grace. And we're going to sing about that now, Amazing Grace.